The Fan on Demand. Go to fan590.com and sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. This is the Showdown. With Showdown Joe on Toronto Sports Radio, the Fan 590.
Welcome to the Showdown. I am your host, Showdown Joe. For the next hour, we're going to talk mixed martial arts, UFC, Dream, Strikeforce, and everything in between on Toronto Sports Radio, the Fan 590. Behind the glass, Joe, Giuseppe, Pepe, Cecilia, Ken Ryan, he's hiding in the background over there. I see him over there. And of course, Joel McFadden, my producer, making sure your calls are going to be coming crystal clear throughout the show. We're going to have a full open hour if you want to call in. I'll give the numbers out momentarily with a couple of topics. And, of course, joined in studio once again by Tyler the Intern. Tyler, what's up, brother?
Good. I'm just ready to go talk some MMA.
Now, I understand before I picked you up today to come down to Sportsnet to get take care of some business at work there, you sent me a text. Was it yesterday or this morning that your knee's done?
Yeah, my knee's pretty shot.
So you're not competing at the MMA Expo?
No, unless some kind of miracle happens, I don't think so.
All right, well, the MMA Expo goes down next weekend at the International Center, June 12th and 13th. We'll be hearing from Jerry Chopik, hopefully. He's actually being presented an award tonight, so hopefully we can catch him after the 9:40 break. He'll give us an up-to-date, his thoughts and what's happening with the MMA Expo, all the latest and greatest from, you know, what I generally call, you know, my holiday season, my Christmas, my birthday, in the middle of the year, because I love the MMA Expo. And, of course, I was at the UFC Fan Expo. I just returned from Vegas, and people are noticing my voice is a little shot, and it's just because of all the work and the long hours. It's not because we had an overly abundance of good times in Vegas. It was just long hours, and there was a couple of new reporters that got credentialed at the event, and all of them at the end of every day were like, is this how it always is? And I said, yeah, this is a job that everybody wants. And, you know, you're breaking down. It's only day one or day two. You know, you've got to do this 5-6 days in a row when you go to a UFC event. And then, you know, you come home, you got to do a radio show. I got to do a TV show. And, you know, then again, like I said, I love this job. I will never give it up for anything. It's funny. And all those Twitter messages that I'm getting, Tyler, about that one question. And since the UFC is opening their offices here, I'm always getting asked, are you leaving Rogers? Are you leaving the Fan 590? Are you leaving Sportsnet to go work for the UFC? Why?
No, not a chance. Don't have a job like this.
You know, I've got the greatest gig in the world, so take nothing away from the UFC. You know, I mean, I'm not saying they're ever going to offer me a job, but at the same time, and to all you people out there that are sending me messages, I don't work for the UFC, so I can't really give them your resume. When the UFC opens up their offices here, they will eventually, you know, make notice as to where the location is going to be and the types of positions they are going to be offering. And, you know, you and I were talking off air before we came onto the show here. I mean, if you just think you're going to apply and say, I'll do whatever you ask, you know, best of luck to you. If the positions that the UFC probably are going to be looking for, you're going to have to need, you know, you need to have a ton of experience, whether it's marketing, whether it's sales, whether it's distribution, whatever it is, whomever the UFC is looking to be hiring are going to be very experienced individuals. So I'm not saying don't put your resume in there. Anything can happen, but, you know, you better be experienced.
I got a question about the UFC Expo. What does 125,000 people all in one place actually look like?
Well, it was 125,000 people over 2 days.
Okay.
So even if you divide that, that's what, 60,000 and change per day? It was mayhem. I mean, it was, you know, the term that we've been using all day and over the past couple of, at least over a week now, gong show. It was unbelievable. It was crazy, the amount of people that were there. Now, remember, you have 40 to 50 UFC fighters in one room, from guys like George St. Pierre to Chuck Liddell to all these different, you know, Tito Ortiz, all the big-name fighters. Shane Carwin was there. The fans are going to turn out in droves. Couple that with the fact that it's UFC 114, Rampage versus Evans, which we'll get into momentarily regarding the results and regarding, you know, who won and for each guy. It was unbelievable. We had, so for every interview we had to do, for example, we would enter the expo and, you know, the fan expo and be like, okay, we want to get a hold of Carlos Condit, as an example, because Carlos Condit's fighting Rory McDonald on Saturday, or next Saturday, at UFC 115 in Vancouver. So where's Carlos Condit? Well, he's at the UFC booth at the very back. Okay, no problem. It's not no problem. In order to walk to get back there, plus you got myself, a producer, an escort, because you needed an escort from the UFC to take you anywhere that you want to speak with. The media escorts thankfully knew where we had to go, because we did have a map, but it's like, well, where are we going here? plus you have the camera guy with all his gear, and he's either got the camera on his shoulder or he's got a trolley to get from there, entering the room all the way to the back where the UFC was. It was impossible because there were so many people lined up for different fighters and different, you know, areas where they wanted to try something out or they wanted to get an autograph. I think the George St. Pierre line was 3 hours long. You know, if you were trying to get autographs from two or three of the superstars there, you spent the whole day in line. That's how crazy it was. It was unbelievable. So, I mean, good on the UFC for putting this on there, putting another one in Boston. But we have our very own one here next Saturday at the MMA Expo. And hopefully Jerry Chopik will come on the air and let us know which, MMA fighters are going to be attending and what you can do at the event from different tournaments and stuff like that. Like, I mean, if you've never been to the MMA Expo and you live in the Greater Toronto Region, there's no excuse. You need to go. You need to check this out because it is a lot of fun. You get to meet a lot of people. There's going to be an MMA connected Sportsnet booth. You can meet Tyler the intern, who's going to pretty much be running the booth with Angie and of course Aaron Jade. They're going to be taking care of. They're the beauty that people want to see. You're just some dude.
I'm the beast.
You're the beast. You're going to have two beauties working with you. Just watching the booth over. If you have any questions, obviously I won't be able to be there because I will be in Vancouver covering UFC 115. But if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, all you Showdown Joe haters out there, you can take it out on Tyler while he's there, and you can rip me apart while I'm not there, as if you're not ripping me apart on Facebook and Twitter.
I'll take notes for them.
Take notes. If you haven't seen my Facebook or Twitter, on Facebook it's Showdown Joe Ferraro, and on Twitter it is Showdown Joe. You got Facebook and Twitter, right?
I do.
Give some love.
Well, it's Twitter at Tyler Mason, I guess. Or is that / Tyler Mason?
Yep.
And Facebook, it's / King Dude. King Mason, because Tyler Mason was taken. So.
You're King Mason. I love it.
It's from an old email, so.
All right. On the screens right now in studio, we're looking up and we're seeing the Ultimate Fighter that aired last night with Jamie Yeager taking on Josh Bryan. If you haven't seen the show, it's a real dichotomy of what goes through a fighter's head in that third round. You want to talk mixed martial arts? You got something on your mind? You want to talk about what happened this past weekend with Rampage Jackson versus Rashad? Did it live up to the hype? Was that bout? Were you happy with the actual fight itself? Did it live up to your expectations? What about the Antonio Rogerio Nogueira scrap with Jason Brills? What about the co-main event between Michael Bisping and Dan Miller? John Hathaway, amazing job. Anything on your mind? Did you see the latest from Chael Sonnen on his Twitter and stuff like that, and just that some of the interviews that he's doing? Give us a call, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, and *590 on your cell phone. Open phone lines throughout this whole show. We'll take calls throughout the hour to get your thoughts on anything, any questions, comments, or concerns regarding mixed martial arts in the UFC. All right, so let's go to that main event, Rampage Jackson versus Rashad Evans. Leading up to the fight, I predicted Rashad Evans was going to win, but then getting into fight week and watching those primetime shows, and then meeting a friend I've known for a very long time, rekindling an old relationship that I had with Lance Gibson, who was in Rampage's corner helping him train for that scrap, really started making me believe that Rampage might be able to pull this off. I got to see how in shape he was, how motivated he was, and I was kind of worried for Rashad, saying, man, a motivated Rampage is a scary dude, and I started kind of leaning towards Rampage, and then I got to the point where I said, that's it. For the first time since I've been involved in this industry in mixed martial arts, I cannot pick a winner. And then Rashad Evans goes and wins the fight, and I'm like, I should have went with my original pick, but it is what it is. What did you think of the fight?
It's funny, because I had the exact opposite reaction. If anyone remembers, chose Rampage, and I was pretty sure going up until I watched the last primetime, and then I started getting nervous. I was like, I'm pretty sure Rashad's going to win this because of the amount of focus he's had on his training. And I just think the trash talk was actually working in his favor and in Rampage's detriment. But and in the fight, it was right off the bat, Rashad kind of showed his striking, and I got nervous there. And then in the third round, Rampage almost pulled it off. So, I mean, it was a very even fight, and I think Rampage, after the fight, when he said the ring rust was a factor, I think that probably was the deciding factor. And I don't know about anybody else, but I really wanted to see a five round run this one.
I disagree. I think five rounds are for title fights, and three rounds are for even if it's a number one contender fight. A lot of guys actually are out there on the MMA blogosphere saying how they would love to have seen this fight. And I'll be honest with you. As soon as the fight was over, I looked over at Jacob, the producer for MMA Connected, and we both said, man, it'd be nice to see two more rounds in this fight. We need a fourth and fifth round. But the bottom line is five-round fights are dedicated to title fights. If you start adding five-round fights to number one contender fights, then it's not a title fight. You can take title fights and go seven rounds now?
Well, I think eventually a day, there should be a day where title fights are seven rounds. If you look at boxing title fights, they're 12 rounds of 3 minutes. It's 36 minutes. If you had seven rounds of 5 minutes, it'd be 35 minutes. So you're not asking an athlete to perform too much more than a combat athlete's already performing in another sport. And you know, you do have to keep three rounders. Like in boxing, they do have four, six, ten rounders for up and coming fighters or contenders. And I think the same thing should happen in MMA. But you know, maybe we just have to wait until the sport grows a little bit before we can do that.
And ironically enough, Paul from Toronto's on the line right now. Paul, I'm assuming you've got some sort of same sentiment regarding this topic.
You know what? I'm leaning towards Tyler, I believe the guest's name is. I kind of like the five-round fights for number one contenders because, you know, after three rounds of Rashad Rampage, I was left wanting more. But not so much the main event. I wanted to talk about the judging because Brills was just all over Nogueira, and to walk away with a split decision loss was just atrocious. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I loved watching the fights up to that fight, and I thought, oh boy, they're feeding Nogueira nobody. But Brills just walked in, and I think for one round it would have been either or, but the other two rounds were Brills, and how you could give that to Nogueira. I guess that's why Dana White says never leave it in the hand of the judges, because he realizes judging in boxing is as crooked as it is. I guess in the UFC or any MMA, it's just no better. And that's got to be the number one thing to fix. Is the judging in fights.
That's one thing the UFC is pretty much adamant on. I mean, they've got a list of what they want to do, like a to-do list in terms of what they want to do for the sport, you know, global expansion and stuff like that. One of them is the officiating and judges, to train them and certify them properly. Now, before I say anything, before you and Tyler decide to rip me apart, actually, before that, Tyler, who did you take in that fight, Brills or Nogueira? Who did you...
Before
no, afterwards when it was said and done.
Afterwards, I thought Brills had pulled
okay.
off.
Okay, well, here's where you guys are going to rip me apart. So I looked at my notes when I was watching the fight. Remember, we're about... we were three rows from octagon side, so we're kind of paying attention. First round, I gave to Nogueira, and I know Brills controlled him a bit more, but Nogueira landed the more damaging shots. Second round, I definitely gave to Brills, and I think Nogueira turned it on in the third round, so I gave round three to Nogueira, but it was that close. And then on media row, we're all looking at each other, and I was the only guy that said Nogueira, and I'm like, did I get this wrong? So the first thing I said to myself is, as soon as I get back home, when I have a moment, I want to rewatch this fight, because
yeah, you absolutely got it wrong. I watched that fight three different times from three different ways. Like there were other shows that were airing the replay of the fight from different angles. And I watched, and I said, there's no way. Nogueira, you got to give it. I'd say the first round was like a split round. But the second one.
Definitely Brills.
I gave the Brills.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been either or, but that's a long shot. It was Brills, hands down. He controlled the majority of that fight. But because Nogueira is a big name, I think the judges decided to let him squeak one by. And this is where, in boxing, it's the same thing. You gotta fix it. At least Dana's adamant about fixing the judges and getting them better trained for the UFC. Because where boxing, all you hear the promoters are saying is, "Okay, we got to do something about the judges," but nobody ever does because the judges usually favor the house fighter. But in this case, Dana just says, "Listen, you got to knock the guy out when you're fighting, because if you leave it in the hand of the judges, unless controlling all three rounds, you're going down with a loss." So something's really got to be done.
Well, for just 1 second, Tyler, just for that sake, Paul, and this is why we have the best callers on this radio show. Just for you, Paul, I'm going to do my best to get a copy. I'll go back to Sportsnet if I can tonight, if not sometime over the next few days before I leave for Vancouver, and I'm going to rewatch the fight. Hopefully you can give us a shout next week or the following week when I get back, and I'll give you my reassessment again. But by the sounds of it, I got my initial scoring incorrect. Tyler, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I think there's a couple things you have to look at in this fight. Is Brills had a close guillotine.
Yeah.
But I think I don't think the judges were necessarily scoring for this, but Nogueira was doing a lot of sophisticated things. He started playing some deep half guard, which in the view of someone who's uneducated about Brazilian jiu-jitsu, it looks like an undominating position, but you can pull a lot of sweeps and you can do a lot of moves from there. So it was nice to see that in MMA, but I don't really think the judges are as educated as we would hope they would be. And I don't think they would score that in favor of Nogueira. And I think Paul's kind of right that his name did have an impact on the final judge of the winner.
Sorry to interject. Let's not forget that when it came to the guillotines and it was back and forth, Burles was what controlled most of the ground game.
Yep.
When it came to, and his guillotine was so solid that Nogueira looked like he was gassed by the time he got out of it.
Yeah, I think Nogueira, we got to go to a break there. I think the other part of Nogueira, and he made it pretty clear at the post-fight press conference that he was mentally shot in this fight because he was so focused on Forrest Griffin that coming into this fight, he kind of gave no respect to Burles. He didn't say no respect, but you can tell that he was expecting a walkover in Burles, and lo and behold, Burles gave him a great fight. Thanks very much for the call, Paul. I really appreciate it. We're going to go to a break right now. We'll talk more mixed martial arts coming up after the break. You're listening to The Showdown on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590.
Don't wait. Hear it now. This is where you get the story. Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590 and fan590.com. This is The Showdown. Showdown with Showdown Joe on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590.
Welcome back to The Showdown. I am your host, Showdown Joe. We're talking mixed martial arts, UFC, and everything in between on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590. Special guest in studio, Tyler the Intern, who wants to talk about a certain stun gun, Dun Young Kim, who had a great performance this past Saturday night against Amir Sadala, who I predicted, by the way, was going to defeat Amir Sadala. Here's a guy who's undefeated. Now, mind that one loss against Carl Parisian was a split decision, but you're shaking your head.
I rewatched that fight, and in my opinion, Dun Young Kim won that fight anyways, even though it was taken back later on because of the whole, I think it was painkillers, right?
Yep, painkillers is correct.
But the more I watch of this guy, the more I'm impressed. He's dominated pretty much everyone he's been in there with. And despite what Joe Rogan said about the Matt Brown fight, I don't think that was controversial at all. And he beat Matt Brown back then. He dominated TJ Grant, who's an excellent fighter. And he dominated Amir Sadala, who looks better every single time he gets in the cage. So I'm really high on Dong Young Kim. And I think he's a future contender if he's not one already.
He's got to get the only thing that, when I wrote in the article today on the Fan 590 blog and on Sportsnet.ca, the one thing I want people to pay attention to is not only the stun gun, because his skills he's undefeated, really. And he's a really good fighter. But if he can get his striking on par with his takedowns and his grappling, this guy's going to be a force at welterweight. No ifs, ands, or buts. We got Salim from Toronto on the line. Salim, what's up?
Hey, Shodan. Hope all is well. I actually just wanted to get your thoughts on Jake Shields. His time is up with Strikeforce, and the opportunities of him coming to the UFC, either in the middleweight or welterweight division, and why Strikeforce would let him go.
Well, it's a couple of reasons. Here's the thing. So, as of tomorrow, the exclusive negotiating period ends for Strikeforce and Jake Shields. Now we enter a new term or a new period where Strikeforce can match whatever offers Jake Shields is going to get. So, obviously, the UFC is going to drive the offer. They'll probably try and figure out what was offered. Maybe Jake Shields' manager, who happens to be his dad, won't give them that information, but at the same time, they're going to start driving the price up for Jake Shields. Should Strikeforce get rid of him? No, not at all. He's a great talent. He should be fighting at welterweight, let's be honest. He's not really a middleweight, but he's doing very well at middleweight. I think I saw on Josh Gross's site today, he's number 3 at middleweight. I don't have him that high in my middleweight rankings, but when you beat a guy like Dan Henderson, you're doing pretty good. The issue is this. So Strikeforce may not be able to afford keeping Jake Shields around. And, you know, you've heard Scott Coker say, we may not be in the Jake Shields business, which is unfortunate because they need to pack up as many stars as they possibly can, because you can't afford, as Strikeforce, if you want to be the number 2 company in hopes to be number 1, you need as many stars as possible. And the UFC is obviously, their roster depth is phenomenal.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead, guys.
My bad. I'm surprised that they didn't put a clause into his contract if he's a champion. Like, I think they got him from Elite XC when they went under.
Yeah, right? They bought his contract from Elite XC, yeah.
Yeah, so they didn't put that clause in there.
We don't know what the clause actually is. I know there's a championship clause, which should have turned around to say, you know, you're locked in for 3 more fights or 2 more fights or at least 1 more fight. But, you know, But what can I say? It's I'm sure their legal team will reevaluate every contract moving forward. You can't afford to lose a guy like Jake Shields. But again, you know, it's difficult for Strikeforce because maybe they believed way too much in Dan Henderson and they didn't want to promote Jake Shields and it backfired on them because Jake fought a great fight. It was a great five-rounder. Who cares what happened after? Well, not who cares what happened afterwards with the whole brawl in the cage. But Jake Shields as a fighter is a stellar talent. I just would phenomenally like to see him only fight at welterweight. But when your teammate is Nick Diaz and he's the welterweight champ, you can understand why Jake Shields doesn't want to fight in that division.
Well, I don't think he needs to if he's the champion. I mean, Strikeforce doesn't really have a lot of depth in that division. And the longer that Strikeforce loses, or the more Strikeforce loses their top 10 fighters in every division, the more and more UFC seals up those divisions, the harder it's going to be to have other fighters break into that. And eventually UFC just has all the top ranked fighters in every division. And then there's no competition left.
Good point. Salim, anything else?
No, that's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Please call again, for sure. So, actually, one of the things I want to talk about, I know there's a bunch of other things, like, you know, Chael Sonnen going absolutely nuts on Twitter, and, of course, Anderson Silva. I mean, he had no idea. When I interviewed Anderson Silva, actually, what happened at the expo is I was the first guy to get a hold of Anderson Silva during the media workouts. They showed up with the full Black House entourage. You know, Jose Aldo was there. And what ended up happening is I went to interview Anderson Silva, and Jose Aldo moved up. Or, actually, Anderson said, no, I want to interview you. And he pulled out his iPhone and he starts interviewing me. And Jose Aldo jumped up and went over to our cameraman, Sean Colville, and says, no, I want to record. So Sean gave Jose Aldo the camera. You can see it actually in this week's episode of MMA Connected, what ended up happening. So I got interviewed by Anderson Silva. It must have been like 15 minutes long. But then when I turned around and I said, okay, can we do the real interview now? And he's like, yeah, sure, no problem. And when I told him, he was unaware of half the stuff that Chael Sonnen's been saying on Twitter. And he was blown away. And then even Ed Suarez was kind of like making his comments. And at the same time, Chael Sonnen, he's vindictive with what he's been saying in some of the interviews. He's taking a shot at everybody at Black House. He then said that the 205 pound weight class, A, he wants a shot at Rampage. B, he says the division at 205 pounds is an absolute joke because they had a karate guy as the champion. I mean, Chael Sonnen is taking shots at everyone. But the one thing about Chael Sonnen, love him or hate him, he's a guy that gets it. He's blabbing at the mouth so much right now. You really want to see this guy fight, win or lose. And, you know, the UFC just announced that it's official, him and Anderson Silva, right before we came on air. So what do you make of this whole Chael Sonnen stuff?
I think it's great. I mean, Chael Sonnen, you can tell he's saying everything with a little bit of tongue-in-cheek. He knows he's... But the best thing about it is he's funny, right? You listen to his comments, and although there's a little bit of truth in everything he says, it's hilarious and almost it's really ridiculous at the same time. I mean, Chael Sonnen is a guy who is a black belt in trash talking. I mean, this guy, everything he says is pure gold for promotion.
I mean, he's just completely and utterly out of control. Oh man, to get a microphone in Chael Sonnen's face is great because you don't even have to finish your sentence and he'll go off on a tangent. It's just, he's a human quote machine. He's unbelievable, and I'm looking forward to getting a chance to meeting Chael Sonnen very, very soon. He's one of the few guys, very few guys that I haven't had a chance to fully interview, the way I want to interview him. I've met him on numerous times, but to actually sit down and have a full conversation with him would be absolutely stellar. Funny, Frank Trigg, did you notice that? Frank Trigg twittering me? He's upset with me. Shocker?
I don't think. Well, maybe it's a little bit of a shocker. He's not too much of an excitable guy.
No. Frank's upset that I haven't called him, I haven't messaged him, and that I stopped sending him money, or did he stop sending me money for stalking him, or he's stalking me. Either way, Frank Trigg, we love Frank Trigg. Twinkle Toes is the man. I did commentary with Trigg for Apex, the very first Apex show in 2005.
He's another guy who's pretty good on the mic.
Oh, he's, yeah. What did you say beforehand? We should get him on air to talk about Koscheck and GSP because he's
fought both of them. We should get his opinion on who he thinks will win that fight or who he thinks is going to be a better coach.
We should definitely. Now, we had a conversation earlier today. By the way, if you want to talk about anything mixed martial arts, anything we're talking about right now, give us a call, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, and star 590 on your cell phone. Earlier today, we had a conversation regarding the UFC model, the business model, and just mixed martial arts as a whole. And we compared it to a bunch of different sports. Like you look at the NFL, Major League Baseball, NHL. You know, they tried to do what they did with the WHA or WHL back in the day, where some fighters were defecting, but eventually they all came back to the NHL, and then, you know, the unions were started and stuff like that. Do you... I'm throwing this out there to all the listeners as well. Would you rather see mixed martial arts akin to the NFL, Major League Baseball, and NHL, where there's one real primary league and everything sort of underneath it builds fighters to get to that big league? Or would you like to see it similar to like what soccer has right now, where you've got Serie A, you've got La Liga, you've got the Bundesliga, you've got MLS, you've got these different leagues that players have options to go in and compete in? Would you rather see it that way? Because, you know, we talked about a soccer player, for example. If he doesn't want to compete in Serie A, no problem. I'll just go to La Liga. They'll pay me my $6.5 million. No, they don't want to pay. I'll go to Bundesliga. They'll pay me my $7 million. Now, soccer's been around forever. It's a much larger sport than the UFC, but this is where the UFC wants to go eventually. So would you rather see the UFC follow the sort of the North American sports model, or follow the international soccer model?
I like the structure of who's winning and who's losing to follow more of a soccer model, but I think something like a union has to be for the security of the lower fighters on the whole, I guess, totem pole hierarchy that you have going on. But I don't want to see the kind of mercenary thing that you have in soccer, where they go from different leagues to different leagues, because I want to see the best fighters fight the best fighters. And if it's all about money and if we're going to play organizations against each other, I'm not necessarily going to get to see those fights. So I'd like to see some kind of overall arcing, you know, if it's going to be the UFC of elite fighters. But I'd also like to see all those fighters contributing to possibly, you know, all the lower end fighters for security. I mean, in the United States, they just had universal health care.
Health care, yep.
But, you know, I don't know all the logistics of it, but I'm not sure if it's as good as Canada's health care. But for the fighters that don't have that kind of insurance or that kind of health care, you need that kind of thing, especially in a combat sport like mixed martial arts.
Yeah, we gotta look more in depth into this topic. Right now, we'll go to Aaron in Hamilton. Aaron, what's up?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about Diego Sanchez, and I've been reading a lot online that a lot of people are questioning, you know, where he stands in welterweight or lightweight divisions. And personally, I just think people shouldn't write him off at welterweight just yet. He has a very good resume. He had a very poor outing against Hathaway, but I think there's lots of exciting matchups for him at welterweight, including Swick, Nate Diaz, etc. And I just wanted to get your take on Sanchez and where you think he goes from here.
It all depends. I really like Diego at 155, with the exception of that fight he had with BJ Penn, because he looked ill. He looked sick. But at the same time, I'm a huge fan of Diego Sanchez. And one thing about Diego Sanchez that people don't know is they judge him on what they see. They call him a nutcase and a freak. This is one of the nicest guys you will ever meet in MMA. He's such a cool dude. Tyler, go ahead.
You can see a vast difference in Sanchez's game after he switched camps from Greg Jackson's to, I think it's Saulo Ribeiro's camp.
Yep.
And he's focusing a lot on his striking, whereas before he was a world-class grappler. You're talking about a guy who lasted with a Marcelo Garcia for a long amount of time. And if anybody knows anything about Marcelo Garcia, he just basically destroys guys no matter how big they are. And I think he needs to go back to that aggressive grappling style he had. And probably he has to find a new coach, because whatever he's doing since he left Jackson's hasn't been working.
Thanks for the call, Aaron. I appreciate it, man. There we have it. Now we have Jeff in Toronto. We got about a minute, Jeff. What's up?
Not much. I just wanted to talk about Koscheck and GSP coming up.
Yep.
Yeah, I recently read an interview with Koscheck where he's talking about how GSP can't knock anyone out, and he intends to force the fight to stay standing. I want to know if you think that's a good idea or not, because I think GSP's stand-up has grown completely underrated with how much grappling he's been doing lately, and people are forgetting this guy's possibly the best striker at 170.
You know who he's training with right now?
Freddie Roach.
Yep. Oh, I love when the MMA callers know their stuff. This is awesome. No, seriously, he's training with Freddie Roach, and people laughed at George St. Pierre when he fought Dan Hardy. Oh, he never stood and traded with him. Well, why stand and trade with a guy who's a striker? I'm going to take this fight down on the ground. Oh, but he's playing it safe. Well, that's what you're supposed to do in mixed martial arts, is to use your talents. So now he's fighting an amazing wrestler in Josh Koscheck, who he did control when they originally fought. But now if he's going to keep this fight standing up, he's training with Freddie Roach. That's no joke.
I think even before training with Roach, I mean, he stood toe-to-toe with Alves, and he did fine. He got the best of him. And, I mean, like you said, he's going against a grappler now. He's not gonna go into Koscheck's world. He's going to keep it on the feet. And I think it's going to be a repeat of Fitch, because John was a very comparable fighter to Josh Koscheck. Very strong grapplers, good ground game, good top game. So and he just pounded fish on the feet. So I'm thinking it's going to be the same thing. I think Koscheck's making a huge mistake.
Awesome. Jeff, you better keep calling every single show. I appreciate the phone call. You're a good man. We're going to go to break right now. We're going to hear from Jerry Chopik, the founder of the MMA Expo. You're listening to The Showdown on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590.
Share your passion for sports. Everything you talk about is on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590 and fan590.com. This is The Showdown. With Showdown Joe on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590.
Welcome back to The Showdown. I am your host, Showdown Joe. We got Tyler the intern in studio. Before we get to Jerry Chopik, one of the things that you want to talk about, I guess we should address really quickly. Dana White obviously coming out in a recent interview saying that some of the MMA rankings out there, what did he say? Not that they're fixed, but they've got small promotions that are paying some of these sites to put their fighters in the rankings. When I first heard that, I obviously was just, you know, I shook my head and kind of like, you know, come on, Dana, where are you going with this right now? He's stirring the pot, that's for sure. He's stirring the pot, and people are looking for proof. And, you know, if someone doesn't ask him ahead of time, I'm going to ask him that very question when I get to Vancouver. But there's been a lot of people, because Dana White says things, and there's a segment, it's divided as to how people take it. Some people kind of shrug it off and laugh, saying it's just Dana being Dana. Some know that it's just a fib. Some look at it as a lie. Others take it as a personal attack and a personal shot. I think Dana was just simply kind of stirring the pot and just pointing at a few people he doesn't like. But, I mean, looking at most of the major websites and their rankings, I don't see any reason why. I can't see anyone really getting paid off. So I think Dana was just kind of stirring the pot. What do you think?
I think it's kind of unfortunate. I don't think it's something Dana should be going out there and saying, because, I mean, I look at the same websites and I don't really see too much discrepancy between all of the rankings. And the unfortunate thing is there's a lot of fans out there that will take it as fact. And they'll argue on a part of it, and it'll piss a lot of people off. But it's kind of an unfortunate thing. That's why I don't mean to promote, but I always go to fightmatrix.com, because they have an algorithm set up where as a fighter beats a fighter above, there's a certain percentage of points they got. And
yep.
A computer does everything. I mean, it's not perfect. But
rankings, to me, like even my own rankings that you see on MMA Connected or on Sportsnet.ca, they're very subjective. Everyone has their own reason. And sometimes it gets to the point where it's like you break it down with so many different quote-unquote tie-breaking rules that, you know, at some point it's like, well, okay, all I have left now is if this guy fought this guy, who would win? Well, I think this guy would win, so I'm going to just put him ahead. You know, it boils down, like, obviously records, who you've defeated and stuff like that. It all depends. Like, you know, when Matt Serra defeated George St. Pierre, some guys didn't want to have him. Like Frankie Edgar.
Yeah,
Frankie
that's
Edgar.
A great example.
People don't want to put him number one. Some people do put him number one because you beat the number one fighter, so then you deserve to be at number one. Others are like, well, no, he hasn't beaten the same amount of people as BJ Penn. It's very subjective, but people take it so personal.
That's one that I had a big issue with, was people putting BJ ahead of Frankie Edgar. I mean,
you beat him.
The champ, you beat him. Give him the number one spot. I mean, he earned it. I mean, if you beat somebody, you're ahead of them. And, you know, that's where the issue comes in. But Dana White shouldn't be going out there and criticizing, or not even criticizing. He can criticize all he wants, but I mean, he can't go out there and just, you know, say that someone's being paid off without any proof or without even giving those
people
sites,
want proof. So. People want proof. Well, speaking of champs, on the line right now is the founder of the MMA Expo, Jerry Chopik. Jerry, what's going on, my man?
Well, hey, Joe. Good to talk to you, buddy. Sorry I couldn't make it down there tonight personally, but it's crunch time for us a week before, so lots of things happening.
Well, I got a little bit of bad news for you. Tyler's knee is injured, so he will not be able to compete at the MMA Expo. But the good news...
I was going to kick his ass.
See, I knew it. It's the same weight class. There you go. Can you make 155?
Oh, yeah. I need to drop about another 40, but I'll be there.
Well, the good news is Tyler will be assisting Angie and Aaron running the MMA Connected booth and Fan 590 booth, so we'll have a good time.
And
I'm so sorry to hear that for Tyler, because I know he really wanted to compete in the Abu Dhabi tournaments. We were talking about that a week ago, and that's really unfortunate.
But yeah. I definitely be catching as much of it as I can, because there's going to be a lot of great competitors. Because I know it's a really top-notch tournament.
Oh, it's huge. It's massive. So, but Jerry, I mean, there's all kinds of news coming out. We're also going to have you on next week, because it's only going to be 2 or 3 days before the event. But give us a little update. Again, for those fans that have yet to have ever attended an MMA Expo and are thinking, I really want to go. Again, what's in store for those people that are thinking, you know what, am I going to pay the money to get in there? Yes, I should.
Well, you know what? It's probably, if you're an MMA fan, it's probably the best $20 you've ever spent for a whole day of nonstop action. We've got now we're up to 7 tournaments on the show floor and of various kinds. We're 100 booths. We're down to 2 booths remaining on the show floor, and then we're sold out again this year, which is really nice.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. It's a tough economy out there. So to get to that stage in this economy in the show business, you know, is something we're proud of. So that's good. And really, a lot of that's due to, hey, it's our sponsors and all of our exhibitors that come to the fore and support the show. And we'd love to have the fans come out as well. There's just so much to see and do. You know, last year, as you know, we had trouble getting people out of the show at 5:00. We had to turn the lights off in the building.
Right. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was accidental, actually, but the security guard hit the wrong switch. But nonetheless, that's an indication that people don't leave. Like, they come in there and they're there all day, and they're there all day because there's lots to do. We have 100 booths there. We've got a lot of the big brands, in Dethrone and Bad Boy and Kimura and, you know, Echo and Unlimited and Silver Star. Tap Out Energy Drink is being launched at our show. We've got Tap Out Mouth Guards there. And there's just a lot going on in a lot of areas. Zions, of course. Gus, who I know you know, Gus, he was by our office today. And they're actually relaunching their supplement line at the show as well, which I found out today, which is very interesting.
Tell Gus I need some supplements, so just kind of put some aside for me, please.
I need a couple of gallons myself, but he's a great guy, Gus. And even though he's in Vancouver with you, actually at the same time, he's got a booth here as well. So, and I think it speaks to the value of the show. I mean, the UFC is the 800-pound gorilla, and you know they're out in Vancouver, and certainly they take up all the oxygen, you know, when they do that. But we have a lot of exhibitors that are in both places, you know, and I think that speaks to the value of Mixed Martial Arts Expo, yourselves included. I know you're juggling being out there and being here at the same time. So
now, one of the callers early on today was talking about MMA mixed martial arts officiating, referee, and judging. And there's a lot of people that approach me ever since I passed Big John McCarthy's command course, talking mm-hmm. about, hey, how do I become official? I want to become a judge. What do I need to do? Because, I mean, let's face it, mixed martial arts in Ontario, the sanctioning and regulation efforts, realistically, they're around the corner. It's got to be happening sooner or later. But here's a chance for people to come to the expo and learn.
You know, how often would you actually get that opportunity? I mean, we have a couple of spots left with Mark Fennell. UFC referee's done a number. Mark's done over 1,000 fights, including Costa Rica events and everything else. And you know, he and John have worked closely together in the past. I know you've graduated from a great course with John, and Mark's doing great stuff in his own right. And to have that on-site here in Toronto, to be able to take that course, I think it's $150 or something, and, you know, you set yourself up. It's a 2-day intensive course. Like, you know, you've done it. It is no easy program at all. So I that's a very unique opportunity for Canadian MMA fans that might want to be an official.
Now, the one thing that I noticed that you sent my way, and I think this is very important for our female listenership, a lot of the, you know, females are coming around and starting to fall in love with mixed martial arts, but it's taken them a while because their boyfriends are so just, they've got tunnel vision, MMA's on, UFC's on, Strikeforce is on, I gotta watch the fights. But this year you've got gladiator jousting. And here's an example where the ladies can finally get into a cage or a ring with their boyfriends and straighten them out.
Exactly. You know, we put this in last year as a quirky thing, and it was interesting to see how many women would get up there with their boyfriends because, I mean, here's the deal. You know, she's probably got a lot of reasons why she's pissed, right? So, you know, she could pick up that, you know, double-ended baton and, you know, you can't really take her out in front of a crowd because that just wouldn't be gentlemanly. But in the meantime, they certainly take advantage of the opportunity. It's a fun thing, and we like putting it on the show floor.
I have an idea that could probably make you and I a lot of money.
Yeah, okay.
Put Jerry Tropic and or Showdown Joe in there and have people pay to beat us.
Well, that would be great. Except I went in there last year. I got pushed in there literally against Matt Hamill, and you know he beat the crap out of me. In less than a minute. He's a great guy, so my jousting days might be over. But I'll go in once with you, Joe.
There you go. All right. So we also got 7 combat competitions. We got sport jiu-jitsu, boxing, kickboxing, Abu Dhabi Pro Gi, Abu Dhabi Submission Fighting, and of course you got the video game championships, whether it's Street Fighter or UFC Undisputed 2010. But there are a ton of MMA celebrity that are going to be signing autographs at the show.
Well, you know, and we're just signing up more as we go, a couple more today, you know. So we're bringing in, you know, very quickly the rundown, you know, Ryan Ford, Canadian fighter, 12-2. He's the guy you're going to watch. He's probably sort of like your next Sam Stout down the road, I think.
He's arguably Canada's most underrated welterweight.
Absolutely, and we're excited to have him there. You know, Dan Miller, you know, Dan recently lost against Bisping, but, you know, a good fight, and we'd like to, it was great to have another UFC fighter in Dan Miller, Patrick Cote, even with his broken hand, he's there. I love the Canadian fighters, you know, and those are the guys that have, you know, sort of set the pace in the past with Jeff Jocelyn and Nabil Khabib, and Carlos Newton, of course, always great to have Carlos there, and we have Faraz Zahabi, which is George St. Pierre's coach, and great to have him there, and champions like, you know, Viviano Fernandez from Dream, the featherweight. Andrei Arlovski, you know. I mean, you can roll with this guy for a couple of days. And King Mo, Jake Shields, and we signed Forrest Griffin. And after I get off the phone with you, I'm going to try and close another one here. I can't really say the name yet because, you know, I always hate to say someone's name and then if we, for some reason, it doesn't come through in the end. But I would just say he's a, you know, a huge K-1 champion that you know, turns a Strikeforce champion, but I just can't say what his name is.
I think everyone that knows the MMA game knows who it is. Jerry, I want to thank you very much for the call. We got to wrap up the show, but I look forward to speaking to you before I leave for Vancouver.
Awesome. We'll talk to you later, Joe.
Thanks, Jerry. There you have it. Gerald Chopik, the founder of the MMA Expo. For more information, go to mixedmartialartsexpo.com. You can buy your tickets online, or you can actually show up at the International Center next Saturday, June 12th and 13th. Tyler, thanks for coming in, my man.
No, anytime, man.
Always a pleasure. Good stuff. And, of course, behind the glass, Joe Cecilia and Joel McFadden. Thanks a lot, guys. You've been listening to The Showdown on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590.